Good morning. Will you turn to Hebrews chapter 2, please? Hebrews chapter 2. The title this morning is The Perfect Champion. A champion is someone on your team who turns the tide. Without your champion, your team and the other team are about even. It's hard to say which team will win. But you have one player who is very good. And because of that player, you are going to win. Maybe the other team is better than your team, and the other team will beat your team almost all of the time. But there's one person on your team who is so capable and skillful that he or she will turn things around, and your team will beat that stronger team every time. That's a champion. This person has to be a real member of the team. If your team is grade 9 girls from a certain school, then your champion has to be a grade 9 girl from that school. But what a nice thing to have a person like that on your team, especially if the rest of the team is not very good. I've played beside players like that, and I've played against teams who had a person like that on their team, which is not very much fun. Jesus is many things to us, and one of them is that he is the champion of our salvation. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10 says, God made the champion of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Champion translates an unusual Greek word, archegon. That in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10 is translated many different ways in different translations. It's the captain of our salvation. It's the author of our salvation, the founder, the pioneer, the leader, the initiator, the source, the originator, and in one translation, champion. So in translating this word, it's kind of open season. There are lots of options available, but you get the general idea. But champion has always seemed the best to me. And right now I am the preacher, so champion it is. What kind of perfect? Chapter 2, verse 10. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the champion of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. What kind of perfect? God is in the business of bringing many sons and daughters to glory, leading many sons and daughters into glory. We're in a kind of exodus, and as God led the Israelites out of Egypt, through the wilderness and into Canaan, so he is leading us through this world and into glory. That's been his plan all along. And God decided that the right thing to do was to make our champion perfect through what he suffered. In Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, we read that Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. And once he was perfected in that way, he became the source of eternal salvation. So God decided to perfect our champion through what he suffered. Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered, and then he became perfect. So what kind of perfect are we talking about? Jesus was sinless all along. He was without sin, but to God, that did not yet make him the perfect champion, the perfect priest. Jesus never disobeyed, so in what sense does he need to learn obedience and become perfect? Perfecting has to do with suffering. Suffering and perfect are mentioned together in chapter 2, verse 10, and in chapter 5, verse 8. Our champion had to suffer. God is leading many sons and daughters into glory. These sons and daughters, that's you and me, these sons and daughters suffer. You and I have troubles and sufferings. You see, to be our champion, Jesus has to be part of the team. If your team is your school's grade 9 girls, you can't use a grade 12 girl on your team, and you can't use a grade 9 girl from another school. We, the sons and daughters, we suffer. And we don't find obedience easy at all. God led his son, Jesus, through troubles and through sufferings and through places where temptation was strong and obedience was a real battle. That way, he qualified to be on the team. and our champion, and that is our sufferings made imperfect. What kind of help does Christ give? In verse 16 of chapter 2, it says, "Surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants he helps." Verse 18 says, "Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Jesus, our champion, does not help angels. He helps people, humans. He can help those who are tempted. But what kind of help do we need? And the answer is in verse 17. "For this reason, he had to be made like them, like the sons and daughters, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God to make atonement for the sins of the people." What kind of help do the sons and daughters need while God leads them to glory? What kind of help do humans need, the people of God? We need someone to make atonement for our sins. We have sins, and what are we going to do about them? Things we have done and continue to do. How will we come to God? How will sinners come to God? We need help. What kind of help? A faithful high priest who serves God by making atonement for the sins of the people. We need someone to atone for our sins. And that's the main help described here. Was Jesus fully human in every way? We read here that Jesus was like us, fully human in every way. This is chapter 2. In Hebrews 4, we will learn that Jesus was without sin. The Hebrews who got this letter already knew that. The writer uses only two words to make that point: without sin. We know that Jesus was without sin, but was he like us, fully human in every way? The book of Hebrews works long and hard to make that point, and we need it as much as they did. Hebrews will say in chapter 4 that Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are. He was made like us, fully human in every way, and he was tempted in every way, just as we are. My brothers and sisters, the Lord's experience in daily life was a lot more like yours and mine than we believe. What if trying to live in God's ways and do his will in this messy, tangled, distracting world felt to him a lot like it feels to you? That's what Hebrews is telling us. Fully human, just like us, tempted in every way, just as we are. How many ways does Hebrews need to say it? Something in me says, no, that can't be. That is impossible. Jesus did not experience life anything like I do. But Hebrews says to me, Ed, you're not listening. He was made like us, fully human in every way, tempted in every way, just as we are, and surrounded in weaknesses. I've heard people say that if Jesus has not sinned, he cannot be like us. That is not so. There are times when you are tempted, but do not sin. At the beginning of this week, something small happened to me that made me angry. I was very displeased. I could not respond positively or even neutrally, and I actually don't even remember praying about it. What I did was I kept my mouth shut completely and fumed. I did not speak about it at all, and that was the best I could do. I bit my tongue, and God was gracious. You know, the last fruit of the Spirit is self-control, and God helped me keep my mouth shut. And a few days later, the inner storm went away and I could respond properly, and that also was God's grace. But folks, I was tempted, but I did not sin. The difference between Jesus and me is that he always did that. He always did the right thing, and I don't. Otherwise, he was made like us and tempted like us, and surrounded by weaknesses, as we are. Jesus was like us, fully human in every way. I have done considerable research on this point of theology. I am frustrated by devout scholars who say, of course, this is true, just like the Bible says. And then they carefully describe the ways in which it is not true. He is not quite human like us. But the first few centuries of theologians consistently taught that Jesus had exactly the same troubled humanity from Adam and Eve that the rest of us have. They were clear on that, and that is what the writer to the Hebrews means. You see, our champion is fully human in every way, and in that way, he really is a part of the team, and that is very good. A short detour, I want to make a detour here on Christ's deity and his humanity. There is no book in the New Testament like Hebrews that has both such a strong statement of Christ's deity, like what we have right at the beginning, and also such strong statements about his humanity. He is not half God and half human. He is fully God and fully human, and he is one person. And there's no book in the New Testament covers both sides of this so clearly as Hebrews. The detour is over. What must God have? God has to have something. What must God have? Verse 2:17 says, He had to be made just like us, fully human in every way. Why did God have to do that? Why was this essential that he had to be made just like us? Because God must have a high priest for his people who is always merciful and faithful. Verse 17 says, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. In Greek, the word merciful is pulled to the front of that clause to emphasize it. A literal translation would say, in order that a merciful he might become and faithful high priest. That's confusing in English, but it works fine in Greek. They moved a word forward to put stress on it. So understand merciful to be in bold print. Imagine an arrogant and self-righteous high priest. This priest was appointed by God to make atonement for the sins of the people, but he had no compassion. He did not think he had ever struggled with temptation, and he sent people away. And he would tell people, I've seen you here too often. I'm not going to atone for your sins anymore. This priest got impatient with people and tired of them, and he would not help them by making atonement. And God is thinking to himself in advance, that must never happen to my people. My people must always have a priest who is merciful and faithful, who is always sympathetic and compassionate with the ignorant and wandering, with sinners who want God. When a sinner comes to me, this high priest will always be merciful. That would be a perfect priest. And that is why it was fitting for God to perfect the champion of our salvation to be made perfect through suffering. That is why Jesus had to learn about obedience in suffering. And that is why at the beginning of chapter 2, verse 12, it says he had to be made like us, fully human in every way. God led our Lord through suffering and troubles. He led him through places where it was a great struggle to obey. It says in Hebrews 5, he was surrounded by weaknesses, immersed in weaknesses. And because of the Lord's own suffering and troubles, and his own struggle to obey, because of his weaknesses, he knows how miserable this can be from the inside. And in this way, God made him perfect. In this way, God made him part of the team of men and women who follow God and need help. In this way, God made him our champion. In this way, God made him a priest who would mercifully and faithfully atone for the sins of the people. Amen. Let's pray. Our great God, you wanted to make sure We who are sinners always had clear access to your grace throne. So the champion of our salvation had to be made just like us and be tempted and suffer and be weak. We praise you for your mercy, and we praise you for his mercy. It is surely a great salvation. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? To him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages and now and forevermore. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.